A miniseries against the Pacers was a perfect time to do a crossover episode with Locked On Pacers host Tony East. Right now on a Tuesday Locked On Celtics, Miller. Let's go. Rainy J's back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. It's like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly. Hey there, John Corrales here, host of the Locked On Celtics podcast. I cover the Boston Celtics as well, so read my stuff right now on RedsArmy.com. And, of course, subscribe here for your daily Locked On Celtics podcast. If you're new, it's a daily podcast Monday through Friday. You regular listeners, you know I love that you have subscribed, rated, reviewed, made this show the number one Boston Celtics podcast in the world, the whole world. Not a single one rates higher than Locked On Celtics. So thank you. Today, I talked to Tony East of the Locked On Pacers about the game on Monday night, the game coming up on Wednesday night. We always talk a bunch during the season. We always have a good time. So here's my conversation with Tony East. Okay, Tony, let's dive right into this. So what did you make from game one of this little mini series?
Man, the Pacers looked really solid in this game, which was surprising to me. Not surprising, that's the wrong word, right? They've had a good season. They're 3-0 for a reason, but just their ability to kind of contain Tatum at times, contain Brown at times, was a little more surprising than I thought. Even though they both of those guys played really well, I thought this was their first true like star test of the season. They played the Knicks and Bulls in their first two games.
Right.
So I was pleased with their ability as a viewer to, you know, their new defense this season has been more aggressive and, as their coach calls it, disruptive. They did a good job with those two guys, and then they still found ways to score against the Celtics defense that's typically strong. It was kind of a grinded out game, but they found ways to score with various guys. You know, McDermott really stepped up, and I'm sure we'll talk about why later. But they some of the stuff I wasn't so sure that they'd be able to overcome against a good team, they found a way to do and look good. So I was just impressed with the Pacers in this game.
Yeah, look, I came into this with this thought, like, all right, the Pacers are good, but they're a step down from Brooklyn and from Milwaukee. So I thought, okay, maybe this would be a little bit easier. And at first, it looked like, okay, this is going to be a little bit easier. The Celtics came out, they stormed out. And then from a Boston perspective, it looks like they just kind of like let up a little bit. Obviously, the Pacers have something to do with that, but the Celtics transition defense has been horrible this season. And the big reason why the Celtics had to come back is every time they seemed to miss a shot, it became a run out. It wasn't just that Indy got the ball and was able to get into their offense. It was that Indy got the ball and all of a sudden it's a 3-on-1. And you're like, what,
right.
Get back. Run. Let's go, guys. Come on. There's two ends of the floor.
In the Pacers' first few games, too, under Bjorkgren, including this game, it's been an emphasis of his, especially off Miles Turner blocks, right? When there's a scramble at all, he's like, go get in your lane and get the hell up the court, right? Because, you know, the Pacers, it's not like their half-court offense is bad, but in seasons past, it's under McMillan, it's been like average. Mm-hmm. And they do a lot of, you know, steal and runs to keep their offensive efficiency looking good. Under Bjorkgren, that's the same. And, you know, Turner has 17 blocks in three games this year, which is just ridiculous. But their defense has been good. They're sixth in defense to the point that they get the stop. And then with, you know, McConnell's in the game or, you know, Sabonis is there letting him, you know, go coast to coast. Now they just go. And the Celtics did not have an answer for that.
Yeah, it was kind of wild to see Sabonis bringing it up as much as he did. He just takes it and goes, which personally I love. If a big can just take it and go, like, don't just sit there and wait for an outlet pass. Obviously, you're not going to have, like, Tristan Thompson bringing the ball up against the guard defender. But, like, if you have the ability to just grab it and start going, then do it. And because it just right. puts pressure on the other team to get back and cross-match. Now, whoever is back, it's probably a guard. And that guard has to step up. Now, that guard is picking up a big, which means some big is picking up a guard. And you're kind of, like, forcing the issue. So I love their ability to do that. Malcolm Brogdon was just a killer, just an absolute killer in this game, which should not be surprising, really. But he continues to be like, oh, yeah, Malcolm Brogdon. We didn't think that he'd be that good anymore because Oladipo's coming back and, you know, somebody's got to take a step back. But no, here's Malcolm Brogdon killing the Celtics again. I'm just impressed. What a 25 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, a couple of steals. Just overall, he was the catalyst for when the Pacers were really building their lead.
So he's an interesting case this year because last year, from the start of the season through about Christmas, he was the Pacers' best player, right? Like, All-Star voting was announced, I think, mid-December of the 2019-20 season. And I was like, oh, if it's anyone on the Pacers, it'll be Brogdon, right? He's been the best player. And then he got hurt a bunch of times, and Sabonis really established himself. So this year, it's only been 3 games, but including the Celtics game last night, he's been that guy. He's been close to as good as he was at the beginning of last year before the injuries hit. This is the best he's looked at since then. You know, of course, he still had the full season to play. But, yeah, I've been really impressed with him this year, and the Celtics game was the magnum opus of his 3 games. You know, it's 3 games, caveat and everything.
Right.
25 points, fantastic. And even when he's at his lowest points for the Pacers, he's been really good in the clutch like he was in this game. Played solid defense on whoever he was on. He switched a lot. The Pacers switch now. What the hell is that? Whoever he was switched on to, he hit that huge 3. He was really, really good in this game. I was impressed by that. And I think some of that is, you know, the Celtics point guard situation is what it is, up in the air, maybe is the perfect word. But without Kemba, he doesn't have to exert as much effort on D. But yeah, he looked really good, guiding hand for the Pacers all game long. So full credit to him. He was really good.
Yeah, and then, you know, defensively, one of the numbers, I was just kind of going through the box scores before we were starting to talk, and I saw that Jeff Teague had a higher usage rate than Jaylen Brown, and especially in the second half where it was like 10% higher. Which is a ridiculous number. There's just under no circumstances should Jeff Teague have a higher usage rate than Jaylen Brown. But, you know, Teague, when he was on the floor, was he obviously driving, obviously trying to get the free throws and all of that stuff. But I think if your defense is geared towards getting, you know, allowing Jeff Teague to be the focal point of your offense, of the opponent's offense, then you're doing a good job. Defensively, the Pacers look, I think, pretty good. Now, has Miles Turner kind of settled into what his role is going to be? Because you're still rolling with Turner and Sabonis, and a lot of the talk obviously has been these guys can't play together. You got to get rid of one. We've talked about that over the course of the offseason. So where is that settling in?
Yeah, with this team, you know, Bjorkgren's done a good job with a lot of players of getting them to play the role that they're best in, which sounds really simple, but their last coach struggled with that. But, you know, with Turner specifically, I think the defensive end, where I said earlier, Bjorkgren always describes it as aggressive and disruptive. They're NBA players, right? So they're going to get beat every so often, but because they're switching more and, you know, causing the offenses to shift and kind of play offense a little differently, Turner's been really good on D because he's in situations where his strengths, which is drop coverage, timing, and rotations from the weak side, he does all that all the time, right? So he's been awesome on defense. Teague was 0-9, partly because Turner just shut down everything Teague did going to the basket. And I heard you ruined Teague's 3-pointer, so Teague can't hit threes. So Teague can't hit threes or layups. Turner's got him shut down on offense. Turner's things the 3 usually, not hitting those this year yet, but something Bjorkgren does have him doing, he's playing a little more confident, is he struggled under McMillan to make decisions quickly, right? He'd hesitate before swinging it, or he didn't put it on the floor right away. With Bjorkgren, the second he catches, he's going, shooting, passing, whatever. He does it right away. So even if he doesn't have the ball as often as he has in the past, what he does with it is more effective than it has been. So I would say his role is reduced, but he's been actualized on defense, and he's making quick decisions on offense. So still, he was really good in the second half against the Celtics. So he's been better than he was last year, just in a smaller role.
Gotcha. Continuing the conversation with Tony in just a minute, and you can bet it's going to be a good one. Lay the odds on that on betonline.ag. They'll come up in your favor. Betonline.ag is the one place that has you covered and the one place we trust on the Locked On Podcast Network. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag. Use that promo code LOCKEDON. You're going to get a 50% welcome bonus. It's like you win before you even place a bet, because they'll give you 50% of whatever you deposit. Football, college, pros, basketball, college, pros. There's plenty to bet on. If you are interested in that kind of stuff, then you are definitely going to be interested in betonline.ag. Don't sit on the sidelines. Get yourself into the action. There's live in-game betting. There are prop bets. So there's plenty of options for you. And of course, don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. 50% of whatever you deposit. On the House from BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify. 2020 ticks down to a close, thank God, this week. And it's time for a fresh start and a few more wins. If you're betting at all this year, then you want more wins. So listen to the Locked On Bets podcast with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They're picking college basketball, football, NBA locks all winter long. Subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get podcasts. Now, let's continue the conversation with Tony East of Locked On Pacers. All right. Well, let's, before we move on to the what we look forward to in game two here, let's get this McDermott conversation out of the way. I know you're itching too.
I think part of the McDermott conversation is how bad Grant Williams was in that game.
Yeah.
That was a lot of reason he got going.
So Grant, I think Grant has like improved in some facets, but I think he's also being asked to do a lot more as far as who he's guarding. And, I think this is just part of the working everybody in. The Celtics are trying to integrate other players. They're trying to work different rotations, and they're asking Grant Williams to do a little bit more. And sometimes he does it, and sometimes he doesn't. And so there were stretches in this game where I thought he did some nice things. I looked at it, and I said, okay, yeah, he's offensively, he's attacking closeouts now. He's driving, he's dishing, he's getting some assists. But then on the other end, I think there's a bigger conversation to have about the Celtics' overall defense just in general, where they're just not connected. Last year, the hallmark of that defense was, wow, they're all on the same page. They all know what they're supposed to do. We talked about them being on a string because once one moved, the other guy moved. And now it's not. The string has snapped. So, yeah, Grant, I think, is one of the people struggling as the Celtics try to work through their early season, like the short turnaround, the lack of time. Like, he's one of the guys that the short turnaround really hurts, because usually a guy after his rookie season gets to go home, evaluate, get sent home with homework, go through a summer league. You know, go through, so you get a summer league, you get a summer league training camp for a week or so. You've got, you come out of summer league trying to work on some of these new skills. You see what worked and what didn't. Now he's trying to put those lessons into play as part of the regular season. And that's just always going to be a struggle. We talk about the rookies struggling a lot. I think second year players are also going to struggle a lot, because he didn't get a full off season. Like, not all, like the second year players who are on these teams that made deep runs, they didn't get that full off season to work on a game, to add something to their game. So he's really, I think, trying to add things on the fly.
Yeah, and I think with him is where the McDermott conversation starts to me, is because something that is harder in the NBA for every young player is pick and roll defense. And Grant at the level of the screen in that first game was just lost, right? Brogdon clutched three. Grant was supposed to switch. He got up to where he was at the level of the screen and then just froze, trying to figure out if he's supposed to switch or attack the guy with the ball. And he didn't know what to do. Brogdon buried the three in his face. When he was on McDermott the entire game, he just wasn't sure. He gets to the level of the screen. He's staring McDermott in the face, and he's like, okay, this guy's a good shooter, but is he going to pass? Is he going to switch? And then McDermott turning into the white guy mannerism of sneaky athletic this game. Flew by him over and over again, right? So Bjorkgren using McDermott as a two-point shooter has been one of the weirdest turns of the Pacers season. But, he's just letting McDermott catch, and if the defender's too high, blow past him for layups. And, of course, he had three threes against the Celtics. He hadn't really hit the three that well in the first two games of the season. But, yeah, Bjorkgren seems to think that he's an inside-out scorer, and he's right so far. He's 12 points the first game. I think he went 14, 12, 16. So he's been a very good scorer this year, and Grant Williams not knowing exactly what to do, chasing him off screens, just added to that.
Yeah, I'm watching, as you're talking, I'm watching that Brogdon three-pointer, and I'm watching Grant kind of try to play that, and he does get frozen. It seems like there's miscommunications here. And now
that's possible.
Robert Williams is on the floor, so he doesn't have Daniel Tice behind him. So there's the lineup here is Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown, Robert Williams, Jason Tatum, and Grant. And Grant, the screen comes. Marcus Smart, this is a situation where Robert Williams behind him is supposed to be, I think, quarterbacking this defense. And that, I think there's a lack of communication there. And so Grant is definitely in no man's land. And
right.
Marcus Smart just sticks to the screen. He's not going anywhere. He doesn't go over the top, nothing. Brogdon's left wide open. So yeah, that is a signal of Grant's, just to go back to what you were saying before. But yeah, a guy like McDermott, allowing him to do that kind of stuff is it makes sense. I mean, I what I see this season is a little bit of a return to mid-range is okay. And allowing, so McDermott coming off of screens or coming off a catch and attacking a closeout, if he finds space in the middle of the floor, if he's a good enough shooter, like, take those shots. You know,
right.
that's a shot where you can hit that. There are good enough shooters in the NBA. There are more than enough good enough shooters in the NBA where you can hit that and soften up a defense and hit that at a high enough rate. So, all right, let's move on to this next game, because now I think you're going to have Victor Oladipo back. So what do the Pacers look like with Oladipo? That, how does that work this season? What won't we see as much of now in the second game?
Two-game caveat for Vic, and honestly, everything he's done since his injury is a caveat, but 22 points in both games, hit all five of his threes against the Bulls, which that's not going to happen again. That was crazy, but really efficient score so far. So to be fair to him, even with making shots, like just in general, the way he's moving and attacking the basket, it's the best he's looked since the injury. So Vic is actually a threat that can change the Celtics. So the biggest change you'll see to the Pacers is obviously Aaron Holiday's not starting. He didn't shoot that much, but just the shot distribution will be a little different. Sabonis will probably have it a little more, because between Warren, Oladipo, and Brogdon all being good scorers, it seems like they should have the ball a lot, but Sabonis has been kind of like the through man for all that. So he kind of decides or dictates like how the play is going to go, what the right option is, which one of them should be the attacker on any given possession, which has been amazing for the Pacers that he always seems to make the right decision. But Depot adds an extra guy that's hard to guard there. So I'm imagining that they'll shift Smart onto him. But I don't know. I mean, that's kind of a tough choice for the Celtics between that trio of perimeter guys. So yeah, Oladipo, he's shooting a little better. He worked on threes a lot when his quad was ruptured, because it's kind of all he could do is just take shots with his arms and stuff.
Sure.
So his outside shot's a little better. His attacking the rim's a little worse, but his defense has been good this year, which is good. You know, he struggled with that in the bubble. So they're definitely adding a player better than Aaron Holiday back into the starting lineup with him. But I always have to hesitate, because I've seen him at his worst since his injury too. And, you know, who knows what the consistency will be. But the Celtics saw him in March, remember? That was the best game he played last season, right?
Right.
So
right.
Perhaps there's something about this matchup that caters well to his skills. But he's been good this year. It could fall off anytime given his significant injury. But I think he'll help them, because he's been good.
I mean, I think obviously adding Oladipo does. I mean, you put Oladipo in for Aaron Holiday, that's an upgrade.
Yep.
So that in any way you slice it is an upgrade. And you move Holiday to the bench, which boosts the bench a little bit, because, you know, you move a starting guy to the bench and that helps. So, but I still think the Celtics will go double big, because they've done that so far in all three games. And the double big has actually kind of worked Although Brad Stevens got away from Daniel Tice, he said Robert Williams is our best big in that first game. There's no guarantee that Robert Williams is going to be the best big in the second game. He's so up and down with him. So if Daniel Tice can step up a little bit more and be more of what he was in the first couple of games, if we get Tristan Thompson, who I thought was pretty good, but if we get like a little bit more of him and maybe they can ease that minutes restriction a little bit, then that'll help. I think the Celtics definitely need to find a way to get themselves to the rim. They need to find a way to clear out Miles Turner.
Especially when Turner's out of the game. Yep.
Yeah. We'll be back in a minute to finish up the conversation with Tony. This is a great time to grab yourself a Built Bar as a snack or as a meal replacement or whatever. It's just a delicious, nutritious way to enjoy your protein. They have 18 amazing flavors. When you go to the website, you can see it's broken up in nut flavors and non-nut flavors, so you can make an easy decision if you've got an allergy. And they are great if you're a health-conscious person looking to lose or maintain weight, because these are low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber bars. They're great if you're on a keto diet. They won't ruin that diet. My favorite one is peanut butter. It gives me 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, just 5 grams of sugar, and 5 net carbs. They have a few other flavors that are just as good with similar nutritional value. I like to eat mine after a workout because I know that protein is going to help me build muscle that I've been trying to work on when I'm lifting weights, and the calories won't blow out what I've done cardio-wise. So go to BuiltBar.com and use that promo code LOCKEDON to get 20% off your next order. Doesn't matter how many times you've used that promo code. If you want to go once and just try one box and then go back again to get a bigger order, do that. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use that promo code as often as you want. Locked on for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. Hey, make sure you're subscribed to the Locked On NBA podcast on Tuesdays. It's East Meets West with Wes Goldberg, who is a Warriors beat writer for the Mercury News, host of Locked On Warriors, and Dave Vermill, host of Locked On Heat. I host Locked On NBA on Wednesdays with Jake Madison of Locked On Pelicans. So we've got rotating hosts all over the place here all week long covering everything the NBA has to offer, biggest news coast to coast. So subscribe to Locked On NBA podcasts wherever you get your podcasts. The Celtics have not been particularly great. Like they don't run their offense consistently. And the way I put it is Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are great players. But right now, in at this point in their development, they're not consistently going to break down a defender in front of them and get to the rim and make decisions. Like, that's not their game yet. They need a pick. They need some sort of action to open up a lane. They need to figure out a way to get a little bit of help. And also, you know, getting that spacing is part of that help. And so it doesn't do them any favors when the Celtics do go double big. Like, part of why they need the picks is, well, Tristan Thompson's not exactly spacing the floor. So they need to do some actions to get him up at the high post and put a big in some sort of position to have to defend that pick and roll. But the Celtics definitely need to run more of their offense. I thought when they were actually running actions, pick and rolls, they have a nice play where the wing starts basically on one elbow. They throw it over to the big at the other elbow. He hands it off and it turns into a pick and roll or a rescreen after that. And it really puts a lot of pressure on the defense to, okay, now here's a handoff. Here's a pick. Here's a second pick. How are we defending this? You're looking for a switch, a mistake, something advantageous. When they do that, then Tatum and Brown are amazing, and they're all-star level players. When it devolved later in the game to just, okay, Tatum, you try to break down Malcolm Brogdon. Well, it got poked away like 2-3 times. Jaylen Brown trying to break down a player. Okay, well, it took him like 18 seconds of really trying to probe to try and break down a player, and he ends up taking a contested layup, which he misses. So that kind of stuff, that can't happen. The Celtics need to focus more on execution. They're just, without Kemba, without Gordon Hayward, they don't have those extra players on there that you could just, I'm going to drive, there's nothing there, I'm going to kick it out. That guy's going to drive, he's got nothing there, he's going to kick it out. And you just keep bending that defense until it breaks. You can focus on those two guys. So
right.
The thing I'm looking for is just this team has to rely on execution. It has to rely on precision. Their margin for error has dropped a lot. And that's when they get away from the precision, that's where they've lost the first couple of, you know, their two losses. They've really let the other team just kind of take off. So I'm looking for those guys to, you know, I would love, you know what I'd love? A Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum pick and roll. Set those.
Yeah.
What? How do you defend Jaylen Brown setting a pick for Jason Tatum?
Very carefully.
Yeah. Like that last play. Let's talk about the last play of the game. Because this is what I've been calling for since
the last Celtics play. Last play or the Pacers last play?
The Celtics last play.
Okay.
Well,
I'll interject first and say Tatum earned that after the Bucks game. Like, he earned it. You're allowed to do that play. I think that's fine. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, see, that's, and this is where we disagree in Boston, because it's like that first shot that went in missed horribly.
It's true. He did miss.
It just happened to miss at an angle where it went off the backboard and went in. The shot that he missed against the Pacers was actually more online than the one that he made, because that actually like kind of softly hit the back rim, had a chance to go in. But it wasn't exactly the play that they drew up, because you know, the Pacers did do a good job defensively. But at that point, when you say, okay, well, Tatum's going to get the ball at the top of the key, why not send Jaylen Brown over to set a pick? Right. You got 7 seconds. They're going to make a decision. They're going to either blitz the ball handler and try to maybe jump the passing lane, but Tatum's supposed to be good enough to make that call and figure that out. They go over the top or they go underneath. And Jason Tatum is supposed to be good enough to figure out all three of those things and make the right play. And in 7 seconds, I think you have an opportunity to make that right play. I just don't think sidestepping to your left when you are a right-handed shooter, all you're doing is you're creating some space, but you're still exposing your shooting hand. Sidestep to your right at the very least, so the defender has to go across and is more likely to foul you. So I just didn't like any of that. I don't like that he likes sidestepping to the left. I don't like any of that. So I when I look at that from a Pacers perspective, like, okay, that's just one of those. It's either going to go in or it's not. But that's if you're going to pick one shot, that's the shot.
Right. Brogdon also fouled him, which is
I don't think so.
It was very close.
Talking about the landing? Didn't give him a place to
landing,
land?
The landing. Very close. Yeah. I actually thought they were going to call it when I was watching the game. That's why I say that.
They might have. But also, Tatum kicked his foot out pretty far, it felt like.
So my interjection on the last play was they just did that the set right before where they got it to Robert Williams and had Tatum curl out of the lane to the opposite wing. Perfect. Tatum was wide open.
Yeah.
Like any movement would have been better than I think Tatum earned it, but I think any movement, especially when you have 7 seconds to set it up, would have been a good idea and make the defense make some decision. But yeah, it was an interesting inning. I think both teams kind of tried to lose for the last minute of the game between the Pacers turn it over and then Tatum misses. And then and I've seen that script before where Bogdanovich threw it away against the Celtics and Indy. So I've seen them try to lose against the Celtics at home before.
I mean, you know, credit both teams. You know, you could spin it the other way and say, hey, look, Robert Williams made a great play. Sabonis made a great play. There was a miscommunication between Grant Williams, another miscommunication between Grant Williams and Robert Williams, which after the game, Robert Williams took the blame for. But it was, you know, Sabonis made a good, strong move. You know, he made a good, strong move. And the Celtics were lucky that he missed the free throw and had a chance to win that with any shot. And that's what gets me, is that if the Celtics were tied, then okay, I can see you don't want to risk a turnover. You don't want to risk something crazy because you turn it over and they get it and you lose. When you're down one, you got to do something because you're going to lose no matter what if you miss the shot. So find right. yourself a good shot. Find yourself the best possible shot. 7 seconds is an eternity. You know, teams run entire plays, an entire set in 7 seconds, and then you get one or two options. But again, Pacers did a good job defending that. I will say they did do a good job. They kind of saw what was coming, and they gave up the one pass that no one was going to steal that pass. So you give up the one just, okay, here, take it, because I've only got 5 seconds. But from there, I think the Celtics could have done more. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens again tonight with this game, too. Are you liking these two-game series?
I love the series style. Like Brad Stevens, love the series style.
Yeah.
I think for these conversations where we get to talk about adjustments, for the quality of play, because there's no travel in between, there's no flights, they wake up in the city of the arena, I think it's good for the league. And I hope it sticks long term. I think for every party, this is good.
I like it.
Well, maybe when fans are back, it's not as good because, you know, they're like, oh, I have two opportunities to see him. I don't have to go to both. But, you know, I think it's good. I think it's good. I like it.
I like it, too. I want to see what happens when I'm traveling again and in these cities and you get to spend an extra day like that. To me, a lot of people, when I joined the beat, they were like, oh, yeah, you go to these cities and these cities have great restaurants. I'm like, you know, I get into a city the night before. I have one night, basically. But, you know, I'm working. I got to record a podcast. I can't go out that night and do anything crazy. And then the next day is the game. And then I fly out the following morning. So I haven't had like a ton of opportunity to experience these cities until like the playoffs. And I like going to Indy. I was watching that game. I'm like, oh, man, I miss
you didn't get to spend much time in Indy in the playoffs either, though. Unfortunately.
That's true. But more than I would normally.
That's true.
I really do. I like Indy. It reminds me a lot of Providence where I grew up. So it's a cool little city. And like going into these cities for two games would be kind of cool. So,
yeah. All right, just for quality of play, I'm all about it. But yeah, go ahead.
No, that's it. I was going to wrap it up.
Yeah, it should be really fun. I'm interested to see how the infusion of Depot changes the game. And later in the season, I'll be curious to see how the infusion of Kemba Walker changes the Celtics, because I think having an organizer will help them a lot.
Yeah. That's going to be they really need that, man. They really need that. They just need,
even if he's not the prolific scorer he's been in the past, just an organizer will go a long way.
Right, but just the threat. Just the threat. Right. You know, the Celtics just need another guy out there. And then we'll see what that unlocks with Tatum and Brown. So. All right, man. I appreciate you hopping on.
Had a good time. Always down to talk Pacers Celtics in these miniseries. I mean, we might get to talk a lot. We talk a lot anyway.
Yeah, we do.
And I spared you the Turner Thompson conversation. So we might have to do that later.
I'd save it for next time. I'm sure Tony and I will get an opportunity to discuss Miles Turner and Tristan Thompson. I know why he wants to discuss it. So we'll see. Let's let the season play out and see where we are. Next time the Pacers are in town, maybe I'll get Tony back on. Tony's always good. Love Tony. Always a fun podcast when we get together and do that crossover. So make sure that you're over there following the Locked On Pacers podcast and also following him on Twitter at TEastNBA. Subscribe to Locked On Pacers because they're cool. And, you know, it's fun to see what the other team is doing. Anytime you want to get the other team's perspective, whoever the Celtics are playing, their team has a Locked On podcast. So when the Celtics play the Grizzlies on Wednesday, pop on Locked On Grizzlies as well as Locked On Celtics just to get that other team's perspective. It's always fun. It's always good. You get yourself a little bit more educated knowing what the other side thinks. Thanks for listening. If you are a new listener, you've made it this far. I hope that means that you've enjoyed the podcast enough to subscribe. You regular listeners, If you haven't rated the show 5 stars and given it a good review on Apple Podcasts or wherever the show is reviewable, please do so, because you know how people go. If they see reviews and they're good, they're going to listen to them. I don't ask you for money, but that's how I ask you to pay me. Good reviews, sharing the podcast, and telling everybody that they should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.